This is the Jacksonville Jaguars 2026 season preview, and it starts with a strange kind of insult. A 13-4 division champion, the AFC's third seed, a coaching staff that returns intact, and a win total of 9.5. The market is charging Jacksonville 3.5 wins before the season even starts. The season itself ended in one night, a home wildcard loss to Buffalo 27-24 with an interception on the final tying drive, and the offseason that followed was quiet on purpose. Same head coach, same coordinators, same quarterback. So this episode is really about one question. When the regression rules and a stable roster point in opposite directions, which one do you trust? The honest answer is more interesting than either camp wants it to be. Start with what was real, because a lot was. The defense finished third in the league in expected points allowed and ran the league's second-best turnover engine. 31 takeaways, second most in football, with 22 interceptions. Also second most, behind only Chicago. The offense was quietly competent rather than great. 14th in efficiency overall, 11th in pass efficiency per attempt, and it finished drives well, 8th in football at ending scoring drives with touchdowns instead of field goals. Trevor Lawrence's counting season was the best of his career. 4,007 yards, 6th in the league, and 29 touchdown passes, 5th. Parker Washington led the team with 58 catches for 847 and 5 scores. Brenton Strange gave them 540 yards in 12 games. And after the November trade, Jacoby Myers added 42 catches for 483 and 3 touchdowns in 9 games as a Jaguar. Now the asterisks. The pass rush was thin all year, 32 sacks, 27th in the league, on a pressure rate that ranked 26th. And Lawrence's efficiency never matched his volume, 17th in adjusted net yards per attempt, and 30th of 36 qualifiers in completion percentage over expected, at -2.7. Keep both of those in your pocket. The whole 2026 argument runs through them. What was luck? By our 10-year rules, more than any fan wants to hear. Jacksonville went 6-3 in one-score games, above the 65% line where the harshest rule in our data kicks in. Teams there lost about 3 wins on average the next season, and only 11% improved at all. The turnover margin was +11, fourth best in football, and top 5 margins historically fell back toward even, costing about a win and a half on their own. Point differential says this played like a 12-win team that banked 13, the mildest of the 3 flags, but the same direction. These rules aren't additive and they aren't prophecy. They're the same profile that burned Pittsburgh's price in our AFC North episode. But here's the twist this division keeps serving. The market already did the math. 9.5 is 13 minus the full regression bill. If the flags resolve softer than average, and 22 interceptions from a third-ranked defense is not pure coin flip. The price has overshot. The identity, charting data via NFL Verse, is the part the rules can't price, because it's the part that historically persists. This defense has a clear fingerprint. Zone at the 7th highest rate in football. 2 high shells at the 7th highest rate, a modest blitz rate, and a bottom 7 pressure rate. A coverage-first structure that won by taking the ball away, not by getting home. That's a real tension. Takeaways are the least sticky stat in football, and the pressure rate says there's no rush to fall back on if the picks dry up. But the author of that structure, Anthony Campanile, returns, as does head coach Liam Cohen and coordinator Grant Udinski, the entire play-calling brain of a team that leaned pass-heavy, 7th in pass rate over expected, out of mostly 3 receiver sets. Our 10-year data says play-calling identity is the stickiest thing a team owns, more predictive year over year than anything else we track. And it only sticks when the callers stay. In an off-season where Tennessee replaced everyone and half the AFC North did too, Jacksonville kept all 3. That is the quiet bull case. What changed is the runway, not the plane. The big move happened in season. Myers, acquired from the Raiders at the November deadline for a 4th and a 6th, then extended on 3 years and $60 million. The exits were priced veterans. Travis Etienne, 1,107 rushing yards last season, 11th in the league, left for New Orleans on 4 years and $48 million. Linebacker Devin Lloyd took 3 years and $45 million from Carolina, and corner Greg Newsom followed. The draft had no first rounder. That pick went to Cleveland in the 2025 trade-up for Travis Hunter. So day 2 went trenches and depth. A tight end at 56, a defensive tackle at 81, a guard at 88, a safety at 100, and notably zero cornerbacks, which tells you what the plan is. Hunter, back from the LCL surgery that ended his rookie year at 7 games, is set to play both ways again with the snap count tilting toward corner, per the general manager. Paishul Tuten, 307 rushing yards and 5 scores as a rookie, inherits the Etienne role. And Lawrence is simply locked in. The 2024 extension runs through 2030, and the club spent June feeding the year 2 leap storyline. Cohen's own words, "There is no year more important than year 2. Health scan is clean, no off-field flags on this roster as of early July. So the 2026 question is Lawrence himself, because the charting splits him into 2 different quarterbacks. In stable situations, clean pocket, early downs, no blitz, he ranked 6th of 32 quarterbacks in efficiency last season. 6th. That's the repeatable core, and it's borderline elite. But when the situation got volatile, he fell to 19th, and the gap between his two selves was the 6th largest in football. Under pressure, his efficiency cratered to minus 0.5 expected points a drop back. The minus 2.7 completion percentage over expected is the other tell, a volume passer living on structure rather than precision. Here's why that reads bullish anyway. Stable situation performance is the part our data trusts going forward. And the things that create stability, play calling continuity, a pass-first identity, a finishing offense, all return. The bet against Jacksonville is that the takeaways evaporate and the one-score coin flips land tails. The bet for Jacksonville is that a 6th-ranked clean pocket quarterback in year 2 of the same system drags the offense from 14th toward the top 10, while the defense merely stays good. Both are live. Only one is priced. Fantasy names to know, scored half PPR. Brian Thomas Jr. at WR30, pick 69, is the discount created by a lost year. 707 yards through injuries in year 2 against a 1,282-yard, 10-touchdown rookie resume. Healthy all spring and the buzz of minicamp. That's the profile you buy at a deflated price. Tuten at RB25, pick 60, is priced on the job, not the resume, 83 carries as a rookie. So know your drafting opportunity. Parker Washington at WR34 is coming off the team lead in catches and yards. Lawrence at QB9, pick 81, is priced on the volume, and the stable core numbers say that's fair. Myers at WR44 is the veteran floor play, Strange at TE21, and Hunter at WR80, a two-way lottery ticket at pick 176, round out the deep names. The verdict. 9.5 is the regression rules quoted back at you as a price, and the rules are real. A 67% one-score record and a top 5 turnover margin have historically been rented, not owned. But this is the rare flagged team whose entire play calling and defensive structure returns, whose quarterback's repeatable core graded 6th in football, and whose market already paid the full penalty in advance. 10 to 11 wins is the honest range, regression on the luck, offset partway by growth in the parts that persist. In a division where Houston's price assumes its own luck holds, Jacksonville at 9.5 is the number we'd rather own. Follow the Jacksonville Jaguars feed for the weekly show. Every game, every number, all season. This was the Muffed 2026 Jaguars preview. Every number verified.